Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, Ball Bryant's going to give us a health update. He's got some new news involving his condition. So we'll get into that. Mike August is going to call in and defend his point about Mike Lynch demolishing his house. First, I'll tell you about Geico. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, you do one or the other, right? And then you have auto insurance. How about you save a ton of dough with Geico? Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around the house. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. Geico makes it easy when you go to geico.com.
You will get Ace Man's favorites. You will get awesome booze for $25 shipped to you. You better believe it. You can get Adam's monthly nut. You should get Adam's monthly nut. You should get Adam's monthly nut. There's some real cool crap. You know that you want that.
You heard Dick. A new month of Adam's Monthly Nut hath come. This month features four Man Show coasters made to remind you to respect wood and to remember one of the greatest television shows of all time. A book of booze-themed Mad Libs, so you can spend your downtime without scrolling on your phone. A pack of dude wipes to rid yourself of Fromunda. A tin of Drive Coffee Energy to keep you as alert as a goddamn Navy SEAL. And, of course, a bottle of your choice. Head to CorollaDrinks.com for 1 month or keep the shipments coming. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Donnie Deutsch, with Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, when his get up and go has got up and went, he hankers for a hunk of cheese. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. A choice to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Bald Brian.
Great.
Hard to tell if Lynch was busy with a patient load today. Usually when he does his lyrics,
it is technically a song.
He's busy, but this is a little more unique. All right. Let's see. Brian's got a health update for us. We will get into a big football, peewee football hit that's making its rounds.
Oh, very curious what your thoughts are on this.
Oh, Gina, you must have dropped an egg when you saw that, man. That is a mom's greatest nightmare.
I got a smart news notification. I watched that, and I made a verbal noise, like, oh!
Yeah.
So I can't wait.
Originally tweeted out by Joel Klatt, a football player himself.
And we'll get to it. We'll get to that story. I don't know much about it. I just saw it. I just did Fighter and the Kids, plural now, for some reason, I just did their podcast and they showed it. So we'll get to that. Also, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the inductees are in. Oh, I was saying to Chris, but I don't know this. Well, maybe Dawson knows or maybe somebody but me knows. But is it like the Baseball Hall of Fame where you just go into the next round the next year, or do you get pulled off the list if you don't make the cut? Oh, it must, because Pat Benatar comes up every year, right?
In baseball, if you're not elected within, I don't know, 20 elections or some number, 15,
yeah,
20 elections.
Yeah, they got to cut it off. Cut you off.
So I wonder if, like, after a certain number of years, they take you off the nominee list.
Because it's getting Susan Lucci embarrassing.
Right. Yeah. Scotty, Snotty, and the Hankies and their fan base should not have to endure this for another 25 years. So it always, you know, I'm always glad. Like, I'm glad Devo didn't get in. And then I, you know, have some thoughts about the bands that did get in. But there's, you know, Foo Fighters and some bands like that. Fine. But
yeah, the two of them I know you love.
Always. Who are the two I love?
Well, I was thinking Foo Fighters and the Go-Go's.
Love the Go-Go's. Love Foo. But I'm always perplexed by Pat Benatar. She had so many
by
hits.
By any stretch. Yeah.
She's a rocker. She's a female. You know, in this day and age, it's always nice to have a little diversity on there. Although, bad news, Gina, being a female just ain't enough to cut it anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
You used to get a few that-a-boys.
No, you need real intersectionality now.
Right. But I thought, and I was talking to Max Zapata, and I thought, do we got, what are the two songs, the Benatar songs I got?
Hell for Children.
Oh, yeah.
Promises in the Dark.
Promises in the Dark, yeah. This is a rockin' song. I don't think it's a Tool tune. I think it's just a...
I'm not even sure I know this song.
Oh, you're gonna.
I probably know the hook. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, because like Pat Benatar and Hell is for Children, it starts to cook. Gina, you know classic rock.
We played this.
Although, I got to tell you, you stay in one town long enough, start going a little bananas, because I used to tune into K-Earth 101 as the oldie station.
That's right.
And I used to hear, like, you know, Gary Lewis and the Playboys and stuff. Mm-hmm. Now it's all Soft Cell and Duran Duran. Yeah.
They played Sugar Ray the other day.
On K-Earth 101.
Is it 25 years old?
My buddy is the fill-in bass player for them, and he heard it, and he called Mark McGrath immediately and said, I just heard your band on K-Earth. And Mark's like, fuck.
Yeah, 95, 96.
He was not happy.
Yeah, because Mark's a local guy, and he probably grew up listening to K-Earth and the oldie station, and you want to be on K-Rock.
That had a little Meatloaf transition.
Yeah, this whole thing's got a little Meatloaf vibe to it, because it's soaring.
Yeah.
It's epic. Turn it up a little. And she could sing, too. There's something political or something with her.
Gotta be. She's also married to the same dude for like 50 years.
Does he tour with her?
Neil Giraldo.
Yeah.
And quietly, Pat Benatar had some good guitar licks. Turn up. Hey, Chris. Extensive use of the hi-hat here.
Yeah, that's the ride.
That's the ride.
What is the ride?
It's the big symbol on the drum.
Yeah.
Like the bell of it.
Yeah, you hit the top part, right?
Yeah.
We'll do that.
Yeah, do
for
that.
For someone who knows about it, you're certainly not utilizing it.
Do you have a ride? Do you need a ride? You're going to the airport? Fucking get on it. Listen to their chops, though. Turn it up. Ryan ringing any rides?
No, not really, actually. It's a great song. I enjoy this.
It's very cinematic.
It's epic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was a hit, but probably your dad probably wasn't playing it around the house.
Does she suffer from Ethan Hawke syndrome, which is she's too cute to be taken seriously?
Yeah.
Like, Ethan Hawke's a good actor, but he's Ethan fucking Hawke, and he's a Adonis.
Well, Johnny Depp figured it out.
Yeah, true.
But none of them are in the Hall of Fame. So maybe they haven't.
No.
Oh, it's got a big ending, too.
You desperately search for a way you call gonna leave.
Yeah, I don't... I would need a full explanation on why we... passing over Pat every year. You could do this with karaoke, Gina.
Yeah, I'd blow out my throat, but I would do it.
Who'd you blow?
Sorry? No, my throat.
I was
blow
looking
out.
At Dawson.
No,
sorry.
I'd blow out my throat.
With what?
The screaming, the Pat Benatar thing.
All right, let's just keep it to karaoke.
This is a single in 1981.
Yes.
Wow.
Like when the guys count it down. I just love that. My favorite part of any song is it's not 38 Special. Oh, it's Molly Hatchet where the guy whistles in the middle of the song. I like any non-song sequitur in the middle of the song.
Paradise City, Axl Rose whistles the middle of the song.
Yeah.
Full on ref whistle. That kicks off the mayhem. Mm. She Stafford Helter Skelter on this album? I want to hear that.
Yeah, I've never even heard that version. But
I want to hear your karaoke song.
Oh man, all right, let's hear my karaoke song. But I mean, I remember doing this song. Man Show rented out the Pickwick Bowling Alley in Studio City for a rap party. At some point, after everyone got good and loaded, it was time to bust out the karaoke. Yeah. And I pulled this number out.
That's
and
good.
I was throwing karate kicks, spinning back fists, running in place.
I would have liked to see that.
I performance.
There was not a dry eye.
Yeah, or pants.
A dry shirt or panties in that facility when I was done.
Did you cause lactation?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, the panties.
Oh, you said dry shirt.
Well, my shirt. You take it out and wring that shit out.
It's in the eyes of a wounded child. Because
hell is for children. Hey, Chris.
Hey. Yeah, sorry.
Oh, look. We have a still.
That's a picture of me singing Hell is for Children at Kimmel's old house up in the Hollywood Hills.
So this is your go-to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got, you know, Jimmy has Neil Diamond, and I bust out Pat Benatar.
Oh, my God.
Looking at Jimmy singing his underpants.
At what point did he drop his pants that are around his ankles at this moment that we're seeing this picture?
Oh,
they may have been taken down.
He didn't take his pants down. He was just pulling them up. He was putting them on.
I see.
The kids came into the room.
I see.
Yeah. All right. Let's just fast forward to the last 40 seconds of this song. That's all we needed. This is where all the karate kicking and punching in the air takes place. Who's their guitar player? Is that
Neil Giraldo?
Oh yeah, he's good. I love a big ending song. I love a build with a big crescendo song. The legs, heels, everything was flying at this point.
Elbows.
Full Walker, Texas Ranger.
Oh, yeah.
Good Lord.
Nice.
You know, I think Chuck Norris endorsed a karate blue jean.
Yeah, they're like
in the
stretchable.
'80s, like
they had some stretch to them or something.
A little
you go out to brunch and you want to kick a dude in the face
and how,
but you can't because you're wearing confining jeans.
Yeah,
so you have to go with like a shin kick or something.
That's right.
Well, not anymore because Chuck has himself stretchy karate
the
jeans.
Roundhouse is back on the menu.
That's right. That's right. Hey, I got a special. It's the back of my heel to your orbital socket. All right, Brian has a health update, and I'm curious because I was not prepared for this.
Neither was I. So for the, you know, I finished my pills, my last round of medication in December, December 8th to be specific. That was Stivarga, and that was a very, 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 very tough 6 months of medication. That was, I you know, you guys only saw me over Zoom, but I lost so much weight. My hair was falling out of my beard. My beard turned like kind of a weird grayish color, but not gray, like gray, but like a flesh tone. Like it was very toxic. I get these horrible blisters on my feet. I could barely walk around. I had to aquaphor my feet every night and put socks on before bed. It was hellish. Hell is for me, not for children. Thankfully, it ends in December, and it's been a very steady improvement ever since. I feel better. I put on weight. I'm eating, you know, my appetite's back. Color's back in my beard. My eyebrows are growing back. It's all good. Had a MRI on Monday. Had the results today. with my doctor, Dr. Rudnick, and he saw a couple of spots he didn't like on
God
the MRI.
Damn it.
I know. It's always something. It's relentless. I finished my book with this, and it's fucking true. Cancer is relentless, and cancer will never quit. Like, I will feel good, and then out of the blue, it's something. You know what I mean? I feel good. I feel great, actually. I feel the best I've felt in a couple of years. But a couple little dots, and he's like, you know, I want to be aggressive. You know, you respond really well to treatment, so I want to treat it now. And so he's putting me on this new medication called CCNU, which thankfully, if not even a silver lining, it's kind of a glass half full situation. The glass half full view is it's nowhere near as toxic as the last medication. I won't be suffering the same side effects. You know, there is problems with potentially with, you know, white blood cell counts, but we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. He's had good results from it. And he's also going to put me back on Avastin because he's like, you responded so well before. We use these in conjunction, and we're going to use it on you, you know, in conjunction now, assuming all your blood work comes back good, which I assume it will. But back in the fight, and who knows how long this will last. And yeah, it really sucks, and I feel really bad for Christy. She has put up with a lot and been through a lot the last year, and this is just, thankfully, it will not be as bad as it was last time. You know what I mean? Toxic side effects, but it's another round.
How long is the round?
It's the pills. It's a weird thing. I take four pills every 6 or 8 weeks, depending on how the blood counts come back. So it's like four pills on, like, you know, the first of the month. And then on the 15th of the next month, I'll take four more pills. There's a half-life where it stays in your body and does the work and whatever. And that will go on probably for 6 rounds. So maybe 9-ish months, potentially.
Did they have, you know, we're always talking about breakthroughs,
right?
And, you know, hopefully you know you buy time, and then there's a breakthrough, and you buy time, it's a breakthrough. First things first, I love it. Drives me nuts when they go, we have some experimental drug and it's used for cataracts, but it's not been approved for cancer, right? And then you go, well, the FDA is gonna, you know, slow boat it. It's right. Like, give them just
that's
fucking
what Avastin
people
was for me 11 right. years ago.
Yeah,
it was for, you know, different kinds of cancer.
Let people that are in dire straits make their own minds up with their doctors and sign a release and give it a shot. But so we're always kind of talking about the medicine side of it. But there's also a technological side of it, equipment, breakthroughs, microsurgeries and techniques and things that didn't exist. It's like there were for heart disease, and now they're doing stuff with robots, and they're doing stuff offline or online, but not in the operating room, stuff like that. So your tumor was inoperable, right, you know, 12 and a half, 13 years ago, but are they making breakthroughs? I mean, they keep moving with the technology of the actual procedure.
Right.
And are they getting any closer? Is there any news, or is it ever discussed from that department?
Yeah. So I've been seeing my doctor now for 12 years. So we talk about these things from time to time, in good times and in bad. We're like, so what's on the horizon? What are you working on? What's possible? And as over the last couple of years, there's been more treatment than not. Actually, it's funny you mentioned that, because, you know, when I was diagnosed, my tumor's on the brainstem, right? It's surrounded by a web of nerves and cranial facial nerves and things you just can't mess with, right? So they're inoperable. However, it's gotten to the point now, the technology, like you said, he's like, we could biopsy it if we had to. We could biopsy it, and that would lead to, like, immunotherapy. You know what I mean? Like, get a sample and, like, design, like, an immunotherapy. So
What's an immunotherapy?
Immunotherapy is, you saw it on 60 Minutes. It's where they, like, reverse engineer HIV to attack, or something, to attack, you know, tumor cells, your specific tumor cells, as opposed to attacking your whole body.
But that doesn't sound like the mechanical part.
Well, the mechanical is the biopsy. That's the physical going in and getting a tissue sample.
Sorry, yeah. They cannot design a therapy unless they physically can get a piece of it.
Because they have to, I guess, synthesize it somehow. Like, they have to know exactly what that tumor is to make. And by the way, this, as they say, my doctor told me today, like, I have a plan B and a plan C if this doesn't work, but I expect this to work. So this is not...
Plan B or C may be a biopsy.
Yes, that's probably where, you know, we'll end up if this doesn't work, which I expect it to. But I have high hopes.
But they've made enough progress in the sort of mechanical, pardon the
choice
of words,
but they
made enough
in there and getting it.
Progress in the last 12 and a half?
2009, 12 years.
They've made enough in that department that they feel confident that they could do a biopsy.
Yeah. Would literally just go in with, I don't know, a hair, you know, a hair thin needle and just pull it out.
That's what I would imagine. Yeah. That's what I would imagine. They go in there with the thinnest needle and they get a little clip and they pull it out and then they have the sample.
Bumping up against,
And hopefully this is all a moot point. Right. Hopefully this doesn't come to this.
Yeah, no, I totally agree, but it does, because I think in a mechanical standpoint, and I think about, you know, what the hell were you doing, you know, in 2009 mm-hmm. when you were diagnosed, was there Teslas running around all over the place? There was no.
I think they had just come out.
Maybe they just come out. Maybe it was just Rob Schneider and its Roadster.
Yeah, certainly not
or something.
For the rest of us.
It wasn't, you know, around. You know, SpaceX wasn't doing what it's doing. Like their iPhones weren't what they were. No. You know, I mean,
we're moving
ahead a lot.
Yeah,
and
it's changed.
That's a good thing to have in your hip pocket that you don't, you know, you don't want to have to pull out. But it's good that it exists because it wasn't really discussed at the beginning, right?
It wasn't even an option. No,
it wasn't an option.
The newest thing back then was the Gamma Knife. That was a big deal. And now that's pretty common. Mm-hmm. It couldn't be used on me, but that was pretty common.
Is that what hurts Superman? Mm-hmm. What is a Gamma Knife?
I have to go back and look.
Well, so then if they can biopsy it, if they can get a tissue sample, how confident are they that they could create a regimen once they biopsy it?
We have not had that discussion, so I have no idea. Because I'm focused on the current course of treatment.
Yeah. It's interesting.
I don't know. Maybe that's a question I should have asked, but I was so focused on, you know, it's a lot of new information. You know, you're going to be on this, you're going to be on this.
And I think you got the right idea. Rest assured,
he dropped the ball.
I think you did too.
I'm not with
you should
Gina.
Have somebody with you.
You're
an
so
advocate.
Overwhelmed. You couldn't ask a fucking
question. My life wasn't full of regrets enough.
Just knowing the doctor saying, we got a plan B, don't worry about it right now. I mean, I'm sure that can be worked out.
I'm sure that'll be discussed if and when it's necessary.
So when do you start this?
As early as tonight. I got my blood drawn earlier today. They want to make sure my white blood cell count is good. It should be. In which case, they'll probably say, oh, go ahead and start the pills and, you know, we'll get this thing running. They're getting approval for Avastin, which shouldn't be a problem.
Wait, why do you need approval again?
I guess I've been off for 3 years.
Oh, I was going to say, you got a punch card.
I know. So hopefully it works in my favor. I don't think that'll be a problem. And then I'll get my infusion within a week and we're off and running.
Well, if you lose the weight dramatically and body hair as well, save a few for Gina. She's got a wedding coming up.
True.
Going
you know
to
what I mean?
Ask you that.
Nobody likes a hairy, fat bride. That's for goddamn sure.
You take, what, 4 pills? Just cheek one of them. I'll pay you handsomely.
Can do.
All right. Well, sorry to hear about it for sure, but keep us updated.
Yeah.
And
I feel I should point out to people listening who are concerned that people tweet me or email me like, hey, man, I'm really rooting for you. I appreciate that. I feel good. I feel great. Mm. I don't have any others. The only symptom I have, it's weird. I don't know if you guys have noticed. Maybe you haven't. My smile is a little crooked.
Didn't I say that to you?
No, you asked me if I was limping, which wasn't.
I think that.
Thank you, Gina.
I think that the walking, because we were walking down the stairs, I think that was my dip a toe in thing, but I have noticed the face.
Yeah, so a little crooked smile, but other than that, I don't have any numbness, any tingling, any anything.
Well, ease up on that, because if you do anything fucked up, we'll blame it on the tumor.
Oh, no, I'm mentally compromised.
Yeah, I already. When I asked you who left the tissue in the urinal and you gave me that smile, I
that
took that
smile.
To mean something else. All right.
I took the tissue out.
Someone has a scientific explanation on why we're able to tell if people are even with masks or something. Someone else, yes, has
That just reminded me. I got a really quick DM on my way in from a horse trainer that can explain succinctly the whole Kentucky Derby thing. Mm. You want me to just tell you really fast?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, she's amazing. Her name is Mindy Brogdon. She's great. She does this for a living. And she said, Butte.
Horse trainer?
Yes.
I just hear her lesbian. But keep going.
Okay. She has a company called Horseplay in Arizona.
Oh, mm-hmm. Wow.
Butte.
What's her partner's name?
I don't know, but she's amazing. Mm-hmm. The Med founded Medina Spirit is a version of horse Advil. Well done. You are right. The reason is it's governed because horses' broken legs running while medicated. If they don't feel it, they don't know not to push hard. It's a dirty little secret in racing. So to medicate them, they don't know how bad their leg is, and they're going to mm-hmm. keep running on it when they shouldn't. That's mm-hmm. why.
Yeah. It had a scene like that in North Dallas 40.
I've never seen it.
He took the needle.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen it.
And then he got hit so hard it bent his face mask. That's right. Never seen North Dallas 40?
No, I'm speaking of football scenes with needles. I've seen, what's the prison one? The longest yard?
Yeah.
Longest yard where they inject him and they got all loopy and everything.
But this makes sense. It's not like it's hurting them or giving them in some ways a competitive advantage. It's actually looking out for the horse who doesn't know how much pain he's in and shouldn't be running that hard.
So the winner should have been canceled.
Medulla oblongata.
Should have. According to your friend,
yes.
Should have had.
I think
that
so.
Happen.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's just go down the line. We got August is going to call in and defend himself with the Mike Lynch story.
Can't wait.
I don't know what angle he's going to choose.
How do you defend that?
Maybe
I didn't say bulldoze. I said
burn down.
Maybe it's a. I don't know. Could be a Gabe type excuse, like weather related.
Sure. Oh.
You know. Yeah. Like when you're ordering food and it's raining.
It was raining. He was hot. Subject. Yeah.
Well, look, Mike. So the thing about Lynch is, I've written 5 books with the man. He's a pretty sober dude.
Yeah.
Like he's not. He doesn't do that thing where he said, "You said you were going to call on your way back, not on your way in." Like he's
he knows.
If he says something, it's pretty much went down that way.
But you know the same thing about August.
Yeah. I was standing in between the two of them when he suggested the bulldozer. So I don't know how Mike's going to get around this.
I'm excited.
And it was after a very long. Not long, but a
925 square foot tour.
Yeah, Lynch was preening about the work he'd done. Let's see. Let's talk to Al 39 from Chicago. Got a question about improv?
Yeah. Hey, Adam. How are you?
Hi, Guy.
Twice in 2 days. I remember I called you and Stromer yesterday about the my front porch. Getting that redone.
Yeah, paint it.
Gina Bald, how are you guys?
Hi
Love
there.
The show, first
That's
of all.
Right.
Adam, I know you're a big improv fan, and I've never heard you talk about that show, Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Mm-hmm.
I used to watch that show all the time, the British version, the American version, and some of those guys like Ryan Stiles and Colin Mochrie, if those names ring a bell, were really good at it. And I don't know, it's a different style of improv than what you were talking about like in the theater, but it is kind of it's the truest form of comedic improv.
Those are more like improv games,
yes.
Like warm-up games.
Short
yes?
form, if
yeah.
you will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just remember seeing it once, and all Drew Carey was doing is laughing his ass off the whole time while he was sitting
down. He had
the
down. Best job ever.
He's like the greatest one ever.
Yeah.
And then I also wonder if it was ever cooked. Like, I wonder if they knew any of the suggestions beforehand. Like,
I mean, they're all seasoned guys.
Yeah, everyone is seasoned, but everyone's better when they can be pre-seasoned. I like the rub
like
myself.
Right. Yeah.
And I like a dry rub. Yeah. And, it's like I've been around. Like, I did Hollywood Squares. They present you all the questions beforehand, and they would do it with they wouldn't do it anything with Match Game. I guess they couldn't do anything with Match Game because they wouldn't. Well, they would know what the questions were. But that fell. Kind of interesting. They got a lot of rules in game shows. And Match Game had a lot of rules, and we've all seen the movie, The Contestant. What was it? What was
quiz
that?
Show?
Quiz Show.
With,
yeah, Quiz Show.
Barry Fiennes, yeah.
Right. So there's a lot of rules. Mm-hmm. Like in, you do Match Game, it's like, you can't be in the room with this guy alone.
Right.
You got to do this and that. But then you do Hollywood Squares, where it was a game show, and they could win money. But they would tell you all of the questions in advance. So I'm not sure how those,
that
what the
was
distinction
for
was.
For comedic purposes, and I don't think it affected the gameplay. When I was on Millionaire, there was a lot of rigmarole, a lot of rules.
Well, and it does say that at the end of the show, it's like, portions have been edited. It did not affect the outcome or whatever.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, Yeah, I'll watch it. For some reason, Drew Carey just laughing his ass off and not doing any of the work and getting paid 10 times what everyone on stage got paid.
That was probably the worst version of that show, because the British version was good. And when Aisha Tyler, remember, she hosted it for a while. It was pretty good. And I think that was the later stages when Wayne Brady was on a lot, too.
Greg Proops.
But, yeah, we should ask Proops if he comes in again.
Mm-hmm.
Proops, yeah. Greg Proops was great on that show. And I guess some of that stuff, you know, was they did have a lot of the audience throw out stuff. So maybe that's harder to get ahead of hand.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I didn't know if you'd ever watched it. You never talk about it.
So. Yeah, I've seen bits and pieces of it, and I was impressed. But as I always say, with me, I'm never impressed when the people do something I can do. So it's a general downtroddenness with some low self-esteem. So I've always said I'm impressed when people play instruments. Mm-hmm. I'm impressed when
people spell
things, eye contact, hugs for compliments. Children, compliments, things
applied
of that nature.
Right.
Things, exotic things like that. Now, in a weird way, it's like I never really thought about this, but I have really good balance. So it's like if someone's going to walk the tightrope or something, I'm like, eh. I mean, it's cool,
but
I have good balance. So I don't think that much about it.
You see that show Wipeout, and you're like, eh, it's cool.
Yeah, like there's things that I feel like I can do, and I'm never, well, maybe everyone's this way. I'm never fully impressed when I'm watching a version of something I can do. Yeah. I tend to watch stuff that's a ways away. And I guess... you know, it's always a weird thing. I was always thinking about this, and it's an interesting approach to life, which is I told you guys a few years ago when I was talking to my mom, who's never has follow-up questions, is never interested in anything, and it just sort of sits there and just sort of absorbs whatever it is you're talking about. But as I get older, I was saying to her, you know, I think I was leaving for Laguna Seca the next day to go do a car race or something. So she's like, what are you doing this weekend or whatever it was? And I said, well, we're going to Laguna Seca. We do it every year and we're doing a vintage car race there. And she's like, okay.
There you go.
You know, there you go. And Berta discovered a muffin shop off of Fair. It's John, where is Berta? What? Oh, no, it's not on the same side as Cantor's. No. But it's on Fairfax, and I'm never going there. I don't even eat bran muffins. But
me and Grandma would have said at this point in the story, "Oh, what were you wearing?"
So
she would say it all the time. If you dare drone on one sentence too long, "Oh, what were you wearing?"
All right, Grandma, I know it's interesting.
Trying to illustrate the story.
We have to circle back this because it's interesting. So I just stopped in the middle, and she was doing her usual nothingness, and I went, any questions? You don't want to know what car I'm driving or what class or event or how anything works or what it is? And she goes, you know, I don't know anything about cars.
Would you like to learn?
Would you like to learn something about cars?
Well, so
that thing where people go, you know, you got to watch all the stuff for you or that you already know about, that you're into. You know, I like watching Sex and the City, you know? I don't get – seems very – closed. I mean, you know, there's a culinary version of this. Like, go out and eat Cuban food if you've never eaten Cuban food. Like, what do I know
about Cuban food?
What are you imposing all this stuff on you? And yeah, watching stuff you already do or know how to do or whatever. It is also, you end up looking at it like a, I don't know, at some point you just become a gynecologist. You get tired of staring at pussy.
Oh, is that what happened?
You got to read the placard in the wall in the office next time you're
next
in the stirrups.
Next to the Hippocratic Oath.
Well, what I'm saying is,
never seen that.
I would watch it and I'd start looking at it from a more technical standpoint.
Yeah.
And I'd
fun.
Go, oh, that guy didn't yes and the next thing you know, I got my jeweler's loop out. I'm not enjoying myself. And that's why I watch Love Boat and Starsky and Hutch.
Thank you, Al.
Thank you, Al. But
all right.
I'll look into it.
No, I didn't know if you had in the past, but I don't even know if it's on anymore, but I wasn't expecting you to go to the gynecology route, but I totally can see that now.
Yeah, well, that was called improvisation, and that's why I can't watch.
Why I should be on that show.
How's your deck doing?
I talked to my wife about it, and we're going to go get the paint this weekend. So
nice. All right.
Got the guys actually have the guys power washing it today, so hopefully it'll stay clean for the weekend. So.
Don't, when you're ordering paint... like when you go to the Home Depot.
Oh,
yeah,
boy.
Don't do that move where you stand 3 feet behind your old lady while she's pointing at stuff like I see in the Home Depot commercial. Mm. The guy's always cuckolding okay. those
it's
commercials. Yeah.
Now, this is fun.
Either get to the counter
really
with
yeah.
her and yeah. start pointing at shit, or just go yeah. take a trip to the plumbing department yeah. and lose yourself. Okay.
This is great.
Okay.
Yeah. So, my mean grandma, your mean grandma, yeah. we all kind of know these people. What they do, have we all had these conversations?
Probably, yes.
They jump. You're so worried about them, like, jumping in that you end up speeding every story because it's like you know you're on the clock mm. all the time.
Yeah, your monitor's on.
Yeah, so you end up going, you get into two modes. You go, like, you'll do a fast forward. You go, like, so I was, it doesn't matter where I was. Anyway, the point is I see this guy, Rob, who I used to, all right, doesn't really matter how we know each other. And then we go to the counter.
Get to the point.
The lady says, well, it doesn't, all right, doesn't really matter what she says, but at the end of just fast, you blow
story
right.
Story's a turn fraction the, of what it
you're the worst like. Stand-up comedian yeah. ever at that yeah. point because you just power right through your monologue. And then my grandma used to hit me with the light. Oh, yeah.
That's right.
She had a flashlight. She would stand up in the back of the yeah. room. And if my story, when I got to like 2 minutes story, she'd start flashing the light at me.
Nerve-wracking.
Yeah. So.
You know who had that beat? My grandpa, her husband, because he was a Canadian. He was a polite, slow-speaking Canadian, and he'd be telling his daughter doddering stories, and grandma would be, oh, what were you wearing? And he'd just take a pause. So anyway, I went up to the lady, and it said her so much.
It's always funny, too. It's like, those people that do that, my grandma was that way. It's not like she had somewhere to go. It's not
right.
like she was a hand surgeon and yeah, she had to scrub in 20 minutes. Where the fuck are you going? You're yeah. retired. You're putzing around in sweatpants. Where are
let
you
tell
going?
Story.
Let him tell the story. All right. Let me tell you about Hyundai Tucson. And they've questioned everything to create the best Tucson ever. This is really a nice piece. I've been really seriously looking at this car, and it's a ton of car for the money. It's a Hyundai Tucson, and you go to Hyundai.com. All right, let's see. Noticed a car flaw in the movie Nobody, which I heard was a good movie. And
I know.
I want to see it.
I think it's streaming and in theaters, right?
Maybe.
It was, yeah, in theaters. I don't know if it still is, but yeah, Patrick, 39.
Ace Man, how you doing?
You got a car situation in a movie?
Yeah, I was streaming about it. My wife said I had to call you because she was sick of listening to me. So they yeah. have a 70. The neighbor, Odenkirk's neighbor, has a 73 Challenger, and mm-hmm. he's bragging about the 4.9 liter engine, which very easily Googleable thing. It does not come with that engine, and why they all had all the emissions and stuff then? Why would you pick a 73? It just didn't make any sense.
Yeah, displacement, big issue.
You know what, though, Patrick? I have an answer for you. You're 100% right. I'm sure I know nothing about this. However, the neighbor was portrayed as a bit of a douche. You know what I mean? Like he was the annoying guy who was always going on about the car. That could have been intentional on the filmmaker's part to make it seem like he was a clueless idiot because the neighbor was portrayed or cast as this sort of dum-dum.
Great point, Jimmy.
Mm-hmm. Was it as egregious as John Wick when Leguizamo got under the car and went, oh, man, the radiator shot to hell and the drive shaft's all busted up? It's like, well, then you can't drive the car.
I got an answer for you. It's going to make it so satisfying. Same writer.
Oh,
same writer!
God.
No!
Same writer!
Wow.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
It's good. And it is streaming, by the way, on Amazon Prime and Vudu.
Mm.
It's solid.
Yeah, I really want to see it.
Except for the car stuff.
Yeah, right.
The Challenger would add a 426 Hemi or a 396? I don't know that much.
Not
about.
In 73, it only had a small block. But if they just swapped it to like a 70 Challenger, they could say, oh, it's got a Hemi or something.
Was it as bad as War of the Worlds when Tom Cruise was rebuilding his Hertz rent-a-car Mustang, and he had a 302 in his kitchen he was working on instead of the 289 that it came with?
This is amazing.
It's an attack. That's another engine displacement abortion, except for this time they bumped it up a few cc's versus with you they dropped down. with the 4.9.
Right. Down.
An attack. But again,
okay, now the fun begins.
Nothing could be as egregious as your Transformer movie. She popped the hood and was staring at she's staring at cross ram induction and saying it was a double pumper Holley four barrel
fun fact, Megan Fox completely improvised that scene.
Really?
No, of course not.
I don't know.
How would she know?
I don't know. It's all the serious cancer talk got me out of got me off my game.
That's right.
Yeah, she was looking.
Oh, we're having another baby.
She said it was a high rise. She was a high rise
double pump something
with a double pumper, which is a Holley fucking four barrel. All right. Speaking of cars, let me tell you about Alcam, the always on personal vehicle security system, providing constant confidence on and off the road. Sorry, but we're living in a time, people. It's a litigious time. You need this product. Real time connectivity and leading technology. Even when your car is off and parked, you have constant visibility wherever you are. Night infrared sensors, 4G LTE connectivity, real time live view, AI surveillance and alerts, and real time two way talk. Alcam puts privacy first. Your video can only be seen by you with the secure video storage in the cloud. And from sharing HD video proof with friends or your auto insurer, this can come in very handy. Alcam makes it easy. Tell your side of the story. MaxPad, did you put this thing in your mobile?
I did. It took me like 5 minutes to install. It was actually really easy. And I've had stuff stolen from my car before. My parked car has been hit before. So it's nice just having that peace of mind that I'll know what happened if that ever happens again.
It is Alcam, right, Dawson?
Using the code Corolla20 gives Adam Carolla listeners $20 off any Owlcam 5.0, 1, 2, or 3 camera pack. Shop at owlcam.com/Corolla and use the discount code Corolla20 for $20 off.
I like how in a movie about intergalactic sentient transforming robots, your main beef is with a minor mistake.
It's the only unbelievable part. They lost me during that when they popped the hood on Bumblebee. Oh, this is interesting. Kind of reminds me of a story, and I am interested in this subject. Paul, 36, you have a scientific explanation for why we can still identify people with masks on.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
Good.
A couple weeks ago, there was that lawyer where we barely saw any of her face, but they ended up figuring out who she was. She had assaulted somebody at like a Black Lives Matter rally or something like that.
She's the one with the Molotov cocktail.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And you made the point, like, we're so similar, two eyes, nose, right? Everyone's got like bilateral symmetry in their face. And how is it that we can tell the difference? And there's actually a specific part of our brain called the fusiform facial area that is responsible for picking up on these super minute differences in our face. So yeah. Much so that they've recognized it's activated in engineers who work on like engines. They observe the engine in the exploded view.
So I've always been fascinated with this. It struck me. God, it was like 20, I think about 20 some odd years ago, me and Jimmy and Kevin of Kevin and Bean, we went out to Miami to watch the Super Bowl, and must have been 1999 or 98 or whatever. And it was at night, and the only show I was doing at the time was Loveline on MTV. And it was at night, and we're walking down a boulevard, and somebody honked their horn. They're driving by like, "Hey, Adam Carolla," you know. And I thought to myself at the time, I thought, when I do Loveline on MTV, I'm sitting, mm-hmm. I'm clean shaven, and I'm not wearing a ball cap.
Right.
Now, I'm wearing a ball cap, I'm not clean shaven, and I'm walking around, and somebody from their car knew it was me. Now, I got the Ace Man windbreaker with the rainbow tape on the back of it, and that could have been something. But I was just thinking about this the other day, because I did... early morning hit on like Fox and Friends or something, like, I don't know, last week. And that afternoon, I was just standing in this little liquor store, and I had the mask. I had the mask spread out, like on my face and spread out. Again, I was, you know, wearing the ball cap, and I was standing up, and some middle-aged woman just walked by and went, "Hey, Adam Carolla." And I was like, "How do you know me?" And she went, "I saw you on Fox and Friends this morning." And I'm like, how does that work?
How does it translate?
She's nothing to really go off of, but we can do it, Paul. So I'm glad you reminded me of something
You're
entertaining.
That nerd.
Thanks, buddy.
Well, it's something that's really advantageous for us to have done for, like, survival reasons, right? Like, are you angry with me? And minute face changes, and we were able to tell things about one another, and now we've turned it into recognizing each other behind masks.
Interesting. Thanks, Paul. All right.
Hey, real quick, can I throw something at you? I just got a news alert. Boy, Newsom doesn't want to be recalled. In the worst way, he doesn't want to be recalled. I just got a news alert from Alex Michelson. Gavin Newsom tells me California's mask mandate will almost entirely go away on June 15th. And there's a little video. Do you want to watch it?
Yeah, we should. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's take a break and we'll watch it after the break. But whoever your mayor is and whoever your governor is, but governor in this case, organize a recall like every 3 years, because he said two things. Take your mask off and we're handing money out. We'll give money to everybody and you take your mask off.
Yep.
So, okay. All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with that. Maybe August and big football hit right after this.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey there, Ace. It's Don in Tempe. I'm just curious, how long before the great white shark gets a name makeover from the woke crowd? Get it out, man. Love you guys.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Yeah, it's Jabba Jaw. Beep, 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 beep. Oh, the cartoons I had to watch when I was a kid. All right, we got Gavin Newsom's.
And look how look how cash he is in his little V-neck and little tussled hair with the little Superman curl.
He doesn't have his mask on.
Yeah.
All right.
And are we looking at masks after June 15th?
No, only in those settings that are indoor, only in those massively large settings where people around the world, not just around the country, are convening. And when people are mixing in real dense spaces. Otherwise, we'll make guidance recommendations, but no mandates, and no mandates and no restrictions in businesses large and small.
Coming from the man who wouldn't reopen Disneyland when Disney World was like, come here, check out how we're doing this.
Yeah,
He's motivated somehow.
Yeah.
Somehow motivated. Oh.
Well, there you go.
All right. Well, good. I mean, I never wear a mask anyway, so it's not really going to affect me, but for the little people.
Well, and like you said, in your neighborhood, I've been really trying to see who's wearing it when I'm on my walks. Nobody now.
That's nice.
Nobody in Valley Village, Studio City. This is, remember, from a few months ago where somebody was running by me yelling, mask, 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 and would like jog by you. That is a thing of the past.
I yell, if it's a dude, I just yell, tampon, tampon, tampon.
That's right.
Yeah, I've always likened it, like I said, I've been flying commercially a lot, and, you know, you got to wear the mask in the plane, and then as soon as they handed out the pretzels, I was like, there's no science behind this. But it's always the thought I had with cell phones. I always gave you the whole spiel about powering down and something. I said, if this is really dangerous, they would not let you on the flight with this, and if the mask did anything on an airplane, then they wouldn't hand you drinks and pretzels. All right, let's see. Someone wants to know if anyone here has Bitcoin or is it Dogecoin?
Yeah.
Steve, Atlanta, Georgia.
Hi, Guy.
Hi, Guy.
Hey, all you 18-wheelers. Anyone see any smoky bears?
That wasn't bad.
That was fantastic.
But by the way, it's diesel demons or pedal pumpers. It's not 18-wheelers.
Diesel demons.
Well, Phoebe Savage thinks otherwise.
Love this guy.
I was just curious. Yeah, with all the rage with Elon Musk last Saturday and the Dogecoin hit that's been going on, and obviously with seeing the rise in Ethereum, which is another Bitcoin-based app that I think when I bought in at maybe 3 months ago, it started at 1,600 for the one Ethereum, and now it's up to over 4,000 in just 3 months. And then obviously with Bitcoin having been about a year ago was in like the high teens and now is in the mid 55,000. If anybody on the staff has any, has gotten into it, was curious about it, or if you even, Adam, with all of your different diversified portfolio, if you have anything in that at all.
Well, yeah. Now, normally we'd take a poll of the staff, but I happen to know the answer, because if any of these lackeys bought low on Bitcoin 2 years ago, they'd be long gone. Yeah. Long gone. Although, intern Ryan evidently has a story.
Oh, it's so tragic. So I bought a bunch of, when Dogecoin, like the first time I heard about it, I was like, you know what? For the one time, I'm going to be in early on this thing. And if it blows up, like, I mean, I'm going to have so much money. So I put like $400 into it at like 1 point, it was at like 1.2 cents or something like that. And now it's at like, I don't know, 60. But anyway, I put a limit sell on it. So I met, basically like, okay, if it ever gets to 10 cents, then I'll just sell and like whatever, 4X my money. I missed a zero. And so I put a limit sale at 1 cent.
Oh, God.
And it already was past that. So it just immediately sold. And I was just so frustrated that I just said, okay, I'm out of the game.
Oh, my
what
God.
Would it be worth today?
Somewhere close to like $14,000.
Oh, boy.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, 1 cent, yeah, 60 times.
The financial thing, Gina, hypothetical on the date. I'm going to keep adding on to these. Sorry, Ryan. Go empty the ashtrays in Dawson's truck. Hop to it, boy. Okay.
Now, ashtrays plural.
So here's a hypothetical.
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to add a third to the guys you don't want to go on that first date with.
Okay.
So Ralph's club card on the keychain.
Yep.
Uber placard
in
the windshield of the car he rolls up.
Mm-hmm.
Third, chooses not to go back to work because making more money from home with the government giving the checks.
Oh,
not for investing.
No,
from like,
he's
from
just like on disability or SSI.
No, just like I could go back to the Starbucks in Sherman Oaks, but I'm actually getting more staying here. There's a big issue because we're not people. So have this we have unemployment, which is big, but we also have businesses simultaneously begging for employees.
Yeah.
The theory is we pump so much money into so many people, and it's anecdotal, but I've heard from a lot of people who have little business, like their employers are going, fuck it, I'm staying home.
Right,
there's
you make
a restaurant
more tour
in the news from Arizona who is offering, I think it was full-time college tuition for people to come back and work at his restaurant.
Yeah, so making more at home than you would be on the job.
I can answer this, and it comes down to, all three of those come down to, not how do I personally feel about it, but how do I explain it? How would I explain it to my parents? How would I explain it to my friends?
Someone new. Tell me all about
him. You know, his only real quirk is he has like a Ralph's card. They'd be like, go fuck it. What are you talking about? This guy's great and he's savvy. Or, hey, he's a hard worker, you know, when he's not, you know, he has a side hustle. When he's not dating you, he's, you know, picking people up, taking them to the airport. This one, I could not. I couldn't explain this to my family. Turns out he makes more staying home. So, you know, that is absolutely number one with a bullet, couldn't do, because I couldn't explain it. And,
okay.
And in California, it would be, but now he's working on his script and he's, no good.
All right. So that's the bottom.
That's the new one.
Club card's the top.
Well, club card used to be the deal breaker for me.
Mm-hmm.
But now I think it goes staying home, club card, Uber. Mm. The club card, man. Gives me the heebie-jeebs.
That's a weird one because I would think, you know, your people are known for their frugality.
And that's fine. But do you have to flaunt it?
Look at this, lady. You see that?
Wait, Brian, let me see those keys.
That's a YMCA.
Oh, sure it is.
Yeah. It's an old story day, but I did, I'll make it quick, but I did buy coffee and tea for all the writers at Kimmel, and the lady at the Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf wanted to know if I wanted a card and have it punched.
Punch
and I was like, no, I'm a winner. And then one of the writers behind me said, okay, punch my card. And I said, no.
Mm-mm.
Sorry. No, I'm buying the coffee here.
Hey, as long as we're talking about Bitcoin, do you remember? I know the answer is no. So does anybody here remember when you were getting sued by the patent trolls?
Mm-hmm.
I donated the one fraction of a Bitcoin I had to the cause, which at the time I have no idea how much it was worth. I looked it up recently. It's a couple thousand dollars.
Wow. That was nice of you.
That
nice.
Was my contribution to the fight.
Mm. Well, thank you. But weird now. Yeah.
I mean, you know, it means more now than
that. Yeah, you really should have held on to that and just wrote him a check.
Oh, shit.
All right.
What I wouldn't give.
August on Zoom.
Oh.
Oh, August is on Zoom.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Is he driving?
Mm-hmm. Where is August? Is he at home? His connection's always a disaster.
Yeah, that's why we had him go on Zoom.
Oh, really?
Mike, you there?
I don't see anything on the screen.
It's just going to be audio. He just called through.
Oh, okay.
Great.
He just said K.
Mm-hmm. Mike? No?
Okay.
Hey, Mike, he's talking about you, you fuck ass.
Take your self off mute just in case. That's the thing.
His cell phone never works, right? Or is it his earpiece, or is it...
Let me try. Yeah, there were some issues today with his... I thought it was his earpiece, but it was his phone, and it was just doing that. It was just cutting out. So let me try to give him another call.
All right. It's always... I attempt to talk to Mike probably once a day on the phone, and it never goes well.
Yeah, but every once in a while, you get that shooting star, and you get to hear him throw down on a highway.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it makes it all worthwhile. Yep. All right, Donnie Deutsch is going to join us. Yeah. He's the advertising guru. I want to talk to him about what's going on in the world of advertising, because I'm very interested in it, yes.
And also, I thought you'd be particularly interested in, it says that his IKEA commercial in the 90s featured the first gay and interracial couple in a TV ad. And I know we talk about that a lot now, and it's like super, you know, we're used to it. So he might have some thoughts about that.
Yeah, I saw one the other day that caught my notice. It was the black woman with the white dude. The dude was like staying home and taking care of the kids, mm-hmm. and the black woman's going off on like a business trip. The dude had a man bun. Mm. He had a man bun. That's where we're at. All right.
Timely.
We'll see if we can summon Mike. Let me tell you about Hyundai Tucson. That's right. They questioned everything to create the best Tucson ever. Every inch of the all-new Tucson has been completely reimagined, resulting in an SUV loaded with innovations inside and out. Oh, I know. I sat in this car with the aforementioned Mike for quite some time the other week, and we were impressed. From design to technology to safety, every aspect of the new Tucson has been improved and completely redesigned. Digital key allows you to use your phone as a spare key. User profiles, it has a 10-inch plus, 10.25-inch full-touch infotainment screen, which is really works. I mean, I just sat in this car and I went all the way through it. LED daytime running lights, stylish, hidden in front of the front grille. The car looks good. The car has so much technology and the price is unbelievable. Hyundai.com is where you go. All right. Does Max Zapata have a read on Mike?
We do not have internet right now.
Yeah, mine just went down.
Oh, yeah. Somebody... I'd say call Mike, but his phone never, his earpiece. I don't know what it is with Mike.
If only there's some other way to talking to a phone.
Yeah. Just tell him to call him up and put the phone up to the side of his head. Somebody, I don't know if anyone saw this, but somebody tweeted me, like, have internet problems? Use this disc or use this thing that Elon Musk, I think, came up with. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it was from Elon. I think that's what it said, but it's like, you need one of these. Because our thing is we just get punished by the internet here, and the answer is always, the internet's no good where you guys are.
Right, anyway.
Which is fine, but we should probably do something about it. And we always talk about doing something about it, but we never do anything about
sometimes
it.
Sometimes your options are limited by, like, there's a monopoly of, like, you know, Spectrum has this area and AT&T has this area. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's definitely what's going on, but we should be able to overcome this, right? Mike's on line one. Oh, it's going to be a disaster. Mike?
Yeah.
Ooh. Go ahead and talk.
I am here.
All right.
Great.
Well, behind enemy lines.
Where are you?
Of course.
I can't work.
The news is coming. Oh, it's like we can't even get a phone call together.
Well, are you at home? What? How does it work that only Mike cannot be spoken to on the phone, even when he's... I've talked to him when he's hitting a bucket of balls at the range. I still can't understand a fucking word he's saying. Yeah, what is that?
And he's not on a headset either.
Like, it's just at his house.
Him. Yeah.
Mike? This doesn't work.
Hello.
Oh, there you
Hello.
Go. All right, real quick, defend yourself against Mike Lynch's home attack.
Come on.
There you go.
The shack was built in 1916 as a hunting cabin.
All right.
We got the important parts.
Why is it undoable with Mike and the phone? By the way, I got to talk to him about business like all day. This is a disaster.
Does he have T-Mobile or some bubble with a phone company?
Yeah.
I was going out to dinner last night. I called him at like 8. This happened and we just never spoke again.
This could be like a horrible sitcom situation gone awry. He's going, don't do it. Don't sign it. And all you hear is do it. Sign it.
Mm-hmm.
Cricket wireless.
Yeah.
All right, Mike. Let's try it one more time.
Can you hear me?
Oh.
Where are you at?
In a Folgers can.
I'm in the free state of Orange County.
All right. Now, did you walk into another room or something? Or this is on Zoom now? Okay. Okay. All right. So, Mike, sorry, defend yourself against you saying that Lynch should destroy his home that he spent so much sweat equity and love on. His home.
That shack that was built in the country in 1916, it should have been leveled in the 40s.
Wow.
Jesus Christ. He's talking about putting an extension on it. Are you nuts?
So the defense isn't, I didn't say that.
It's that I stand by it. What's wrong with you?
My defense is I was too polite to start with. He really should have leveled it.
Yeah.
He just got $70,000 over asking for that house, yeah. Mike.
Well, 70. Remember, it's in the street.
$70,000 over asking.
That house was built a century ago and nothing was out there. Through the years in the 50s and 60s, they built some nice suburban homes. So he had a valuable piece of real estate.
Oh.
He didn't even talk about what I really told him to do, which he hated.
Kill
I said,
himself.
Put a mobile home in the back and live in that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he wanted him to go full Rockford Files and tear down the house.
You instantly get a master bedroom, a master bath, a dining living room. You could have an office for yourself. Your kid could have a playroom. Your life would get 3,000% better and it cost you $50,000.
Well, you know, the joke's on you, Mike, because he sold it. He got over asking, and he's moving into a bigger house.
But wait a second. August, you could be the one laughing last, because maybe they're buying it for the dirt.
No.
Oh, they definitely
okay.
You haven't seen this place. It'll be gone tomorrow.
Jesus. Well, now...
You just back over it with your car, it'll fall right over.
You gotta see this place.
It's quite
well,
indicted.
Look, now, Mike... I tactfully broached that subject with Mike Lynch.
Oh,
do not think Mike's voice is ringing. Has been ringing in my ear ever since he said, "Like we're moving out, we're thinking about selling the house," and then we sold it. And of course, I'm thinking, okay, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, "Who's moving in?" You know, and if he said. You know, some old fat rich white guy or something, then that's a developer. But he said it's a young couple wanting to start a family, Mike, of hunchbacks.
Are they on parole? Is this some type of punishment post prison? You have to live here?
I don't know.
Punishment.
All right, Donnie Deutsch is on the blower. Mike, are we going to Anchorage July
3rd? We are going to Anchorage. July 3rd, we're going to be at Coots in Anchorage.
I'm so jealous. I've always wanted to go to Alaska.
What are we going to do there?
We're going to fish. We're going to get chased by bears. We're going to then set up a podcast on Saturday night at Coots. And it's going to be awesome.
And were we staying like in a lodge or something?
We're flying to the outback, way out by Bristol Bay. And mm-hmm. We're staying in a lodge for a couple of days. And we're coming into Anchorage. You know, that time of year, it stays light 22 hours a day. So I've been able to find you 22 hours of work to do.
Oh, you got me a job on a tuna barge or something? Or we're on the crab.
I need to talk to you about that, yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah, we're going to have to get you some of those yellow boots. Pack those.
All right, so Anchorage Coots, July 3rd, and Mike's defense wasn't what we thought it was going to be. It wasn't really defense. It was just how egregious Mike's house was.
Tripling down.
I told you it was
no
hot.
Jury would convict me if you showed them that house. That was a disaster.
Oh, my God.
All right, Mike, I'll call you later. Thanks, and we'll see if later. We talk. If we
hey, able Mike, to he's talking about you, you fuck ass.
Or not. Jeez. All right, Donnie Deutsch is, well, you know Donnie Deutsch. We'll talk all about advertising with him right after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there, owning. Renting? You want to save some money? How about you bundle your policies at Geico? Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing too because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Have you ever heard that story that Napoleon used the Egyptian Sphinx for target practice and shot its nose off? Or maybe you've heard that a French astrologer named Nostradamus correctly predicted nearly 500 years of human history. Or maybe someone told you that the legendary blues guitarist Robert Johnson sold his soul to the devil at a crossroads in Mississippi. These stories are what I like to call historical myths. Great little tales that may or may not have any basis in historical fact. On Our Fake History, we explore these historical myths and try to determine what's fact, what's fiction, and what is such a good story, it simply must be told. If you dig stories about death-obsessed emperors, lost civilizations, desperate sieges, voodoo black magic, and famous historical figures you thought you knew, then Our Fake History might just be your new favorite podcast. Still not sure? Then stick around to the end of the episode today to hear a teaser episode of Our Fake History. If you dig it, then subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.